We are looking at unconventional warfare, mind programming, manipulation, and the theft and rape of our children who we must protect. Uncensored, unafraid, and unstoppable. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu. Well, until recently, Perrin Mosca was the mayor of Rochelle Park, New Jersey. That's a small suburb, about 5,000 people just outside of New York City. But now Mayor Mosca is ex-Mayor Mosca because he's not deferential enough to our new national religion of gay pride and the worship of homosexuality. Last May, a member of the Rochelle Park City Council filed a motion to have the town raise the pride flag outside of City Hall for the entire month of June. Now, this should have been shut down immediately because Rochelle Park only has one Democrat on the council and three Republicans. But you know how Republicans can be. Two of these three fake Republicans voted in favor of having the gay flag flown over town. So Perrin tried to push back on this. He pointed out rightfully that the pride flag is not a neutral flag. No, it's an ideological one, a swearing of allegiance to gayness and butt sex. If the city was going to raise that flag, he said, then they had an obligation to fly any other ideological flag that someone requested, a Back the Blue flag, for instance, or an American Legion flag, or a Catholic flag, or a Satanist flag, for crying out loud. But raising just the pride flag and nothing else, he said, would be showing favoritism to one specific group. He called for the town to fly only the U.S. flag or any other official flags of his community. But you know where this is going. The new national ideology of America actually is showing favoritism to some groups over others. Specifically, we denigrate Christians and worship the gay and transgendered as modern saints. So in retaliation for Mosca refusing to go along with the worship of the rainbow calf, the city council conspired to remove him from office completely. Even his fellow Republicans abandoned him. And they're now urging him not to run for re-election to his position on the city council. So much for conservatism. Perrin Mosca joins us now. What do they conserve at all, actually?
Hi, Stu. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, of course.
For me, you know, the Republicans in Rochelle Park, and I shouldn't even say Republicans, I'm just say the people, you know, up there on the council, because if they can't differentiate themselves between this issue, which should be an issue that all Republicans support, I don't even know if I can call them Republicans. I just could call them politicians, and that's what they are.
Yeah, they're fake. They're liars. What's at the bottom of all of this? What's the real motivation behind all of this?
For me personally, it was, you know, I feel like they were doing this for political reasons. But you know what? I really don't want to talk about this whole issue. You know, it happened. And, you know, I personally want to talk about the truth. Really, what is the truth of this whole thing? You know, me personally, I talked about the flag and why I believe it shouldn't have been up there. But there's also really personal reasons for me why I did this. And, you know, I have six kids. I have one kid on the way. My wife's actually, you know, about to have a baby, you know, pretty much any day now, maybe today, maybe tomorrow. And for me personally, I'm doing this for my kids. That is my reason. I want to protect my children and the children of Rochelle Park.
Protect them from what specifically?
The way in New Jersey it's been going with schooling, where they're trying to indoctrinate our children with, you know, this flag, what it represents, wants to indoctrinate our children. I don't feel like parents with young kids should have to explain to them why they need to talk about this issue with them. I really don't believe it. I don't think they're ready. They're too young. And all I want to do is protect these souls.
Well, that's very commendable. And I feel the same way that you do. Your perspective is obviously interesting to me, and I value your opinion. I also respect the stand that you're taking. Are you going to rerun for city council?
I am rerunning for city council. You know, after this whole issue, you know, I really don't want to attack anyone. I want to bring people together. And, you know, part of it, it's part of it's my fault for not teaching the other people up there how this issue really affects the world and our town and the entire state of New Jersey. And that's part of my problem. And, you know, I'm going to do a better job of trying to teach my fellow.
Well, I mean, I don't think that it's about attacking them, but certainly exposing them for covering the truth, because anybody who can objectively look at what's happening in our country right now, specifically even in your little small town in New Jersey or small towns across America, cannot deny the fact that this transgender / homosexual movement has infiltrated every single level of our federal bureaucracy, at every level in our local governments, in our public schools, and that, yes, it is specifically targeting children. We have pornographic materials in the school libraries. We have teachers who aren't asking how your recess was, but asking what your preferred pronouns are and demanding that you call them by their they or them status. I mean, this has to be acknowledged. These people do need to be exposed. I don't call it attacking. I think actually it's the opposite. These people are attacking our children, and you are standing up for them.
Absolutely. It is an attack on our children. And like I said, I guess you don't think it's attacking. I just don't. I want to make peace with them, but I also want to teach them the truth. The truth that the Bible states. I really want to teach them the truth.
Yeah.
I have no
problem. I don't think that these people have any intention of bringing peace or aligning or listening or learning or objectively taking information. These people are ideologues who have an agenda. It's an agenda that is inspired by the enemy. The enemy is Satan, and I believe that they are his minions, and they are going to, at all cost, still continue the mission to attack our children. But I commend you. I mean, I'm not saying that I disagree with where your heart is on this. I'm just saying that I don't know that we can negotiate with the devil.
Well, Stu, this is a small town. It's a pretty close-knit town. There's not much, of the outside influence. I mean, these people were, swayed by this a little bit, but I feel like I can get them to really see what the truth is in this whole situation.
They watch the Fox News channel, or they watch CNN or MSNBC. They see all the celebrations going up and down the streets of New York and New Jersey, Weehawken, all these different areas, Hoboken, all of the gay pride nonsense that's happening out there. And so there may be some outside influence just via programming that they're not even aware of. But in your small community that you say is tight-knit, I hope that you have garnered the support of your constituents. I hope that those 5,000-some-odd people in your town will actually stand behind you, and that they will realize that we need to protect our children. It's our one ultimate duty, and we need to pick up the sword and fight. And so for your efforts, we appreciate it, and thank you so much for being here, Perrin. We're behind you 100%.
Okay, yeah. And then, I just want to say, listen, I'm grateful for this platform. I'm grateful for the chance to spread the truth. My reasoning, my personal held belief is we definitely have to save these children because they're being attacked from all over. And it is pure evil.
I couldn't agree with you more, or could have said it better myself. We're behind you. Let us know if there's anything else that we can do. Perrin Mosca, we appreciate you being here, Mayor.
Thank you, Stu.
We're seeing unprecedented criminal tax hikes, hyperinflation, a full-blown recession, and it's all part of the grand plan. The billions of dollars that Biden keeps sending to that corrupt, fake Ukraine. The trillions in new taxes that he wants to shove down your throat. The electronic banking system crash, resetting everybody to zero. Checking accounts, savings accounts, 401ks, IRAs, all of it. Zero. But you don't have to be a victim. Protect your money and get up to $10,000 in free silver to do it when you call my friends at Goldco. Goldco has helped to protect over $2 billion in gold and silver for people like you and me. And now they're offering you up to $10,000 in bonus silver when opening a qualified IRA account just for being a supporter of the Stu Peters Show. So whether you want to protect your 50 grand or a half a million or even more, this is your opportunity to protect yourself from our out-of-control, corrupt corporate crime syndicate. Don't be a victim. Call Goldco, 855-706-GOLD. Again, 855-706-GOLD, or go to goldco.com/stew.
Hey, America, Dr. Stella Emmanuel here. One of the things I will put together is what I call the Pandemic Preparedness Pack. It has five essential things in it. Number one, it has Covivite. Covivite has vitamin C, D, zinc, and quercetin. We have Covilite. Covilite gives you energy. It helps you with hydration. It also gives you mental clarity, the brain fog, and antioxidants. We actually use this as part of our Vax Detox Combo. Then we have Viramune Plus. Viramune Plus can build your immunity. It has elderberry, bilberry, echinacea, ECD, GC, it has proteases and peptides. It will have Covidine. Covidine is potassium iodide. If we get nuked, you're going to need potassium iodide to protect your thyroid from absorbing radiation. The last thing we have is Pox Defense. Pox Defense is an old Indian remedy that has Sarracenia purpura opica plant. And it used to be, work against smallpox, and it can help you against all the pox viruses to build your immunity.
Use the promo code STU for big discounts when they go to drstellamd.com. Use that promo code STU. It saved me a ton of cash, and it'll save you as well. Filtersuck.com is the leading manufacturer in filterless air purification systems, whether you're dealing with pollen or mold or dust, shedding from your pet, or vaccinated neighbors' mRNA spike protein shedding. Filtersuck.com has solutions for every scenario, at home, at work, or on the go. Breathe with confidence. Don't let your air suck. Rest well knowing that your home is protected 24/7, so now you can get a unit for your home or a portable unit for on-the-go travel. That's filtersuck.com. Use promo code STU for 10% off when you go to filtersuck.com. So chances are, by this point, all of the people on that submarine that sank trying to reach the Titanic are dead from running out of oxygen, if not from having the entire sub implode like an aluminum can. At least that's the story that literally every news outlet is running with. But you know our policy. If the entire media is in alignment on something, then there's probably something hidden. What if all of this is actually a ploy to keep people from visiting the Titanic wreckage? But if that's the goal, why? Maybe because if people explore the Titanic too much, they would discover that it wasn't an iceberg that sank the Titanic. There's a lot of alternative theories about how that sinking occurred. That it was intentionally sunk as part of an elaborate insurance scam, and even if that it was sunk by a newly created Federal Reserve. Zach Voorhees is a reliable software engineer who turned whistleblower from inside of Google. He's been exploring all of this. He had a long Twitter thread about it, and he joins us now. Zach, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate you being here.
Stu, it's a pleasure to be on your show. Thank you for having me back.
Yeah, so for all of the people who have not seen your Twitter thread, please explain what you think is actually going on with this submarine Titanic exploration event.
Well, Stu, as you said, when the media decides altogether that something is very important, then that means they're usually trying to push something.
Yeah, safe and effective. Go get your booster.
Exactly. So the thing about this submarine, which is really weird, is that it was actually funded by the Rothschild dynasty. And what's also really interesting is that there is a new treaty that's getting implemented that makes it so that citizens of the Western countries like the United States, Canada, UK, can't go visit there without a permit. And that's actually already taken effect. And so the question is, why did this sub, which has all these different problems, an uncertified experimental design being run by a wireless controller and someone without submarine experience of any significant degree, why was this allowed and permitted to go down and visit this? Well, my belief is that they're going to use this as justification to prevent anyone from going down there and visiting that Titanic. Why? Because the narrative for so long has been that the iceberg blew through 1 inch of steel and cut through the hull of the Titanic, causing it to sink. Now, we all know that jet fuel can't melt steel beams, but what we should also kind of adopt is the fact that an iceberg can't cut through hardened steel. They made this Titanic unsinkable. And back then they knew what they were doing. And this hilarious narrative that lukewarm ice, right? Because that's essentially what it is at 32 degrees, could cut through hardened steel is absolutely ridiculous. And so I believe that if people go down there, what they're going to find is that there isn't an implosion in the hull due to an iceberg. What they're going to find is that there is a outward buckling of the hull because explosives were placed on the Titanic to blow it out.
Yeah, that's not a conspiracy theory either. There's a signed statement by a committee of the surviving passengers that was given to the press, which states that the Titanic carried 2,340 persons on board, consisting of 1,400 passengers, 940 officers and crew. No sign of panic was manifested until just before the vessel sank, when loud shouts of terror were heard and the sound of persons plunging overboard. There was reports of explosions from eyewitnesses. Quote, ice was all around us, crunching against the boats as we rowed away. We saw there was not enough boats for everyone, but there was plenty of time to save everyone if the Titanic had been sufficiently provided. The weather was beautifully calm, and except for the ice, it would have been like a lake in summer. We saw the Titanic struggling slowly forward as we rowed away. There was no sign of any panic until just before she sank. Then we heard what seemed like shouts of terror, and it appeared to us in the semi-darkness as if human shapes were plunging overboard. We heard a dull sound, which may have been the boilers exploding.
Yeah, exactly. And so the question is, why would they sink the Titanic? And the answer to that is that four rich families were on that Titanic that were all opposed to the Federal Reserve. So that's John Jacob Astor IV, Benjamin Guggenheim, Isidore Strauss, and George Dunton Wendine. And they all perished on this vessel. In fact, in the movie Titanic, there's a very short scene, about 3 seconds, where they have a bunch of people in the Titanic discussing and opposing the Federal Reserve, but it's just 3 seconds and it continues to move on. It's the belief of a lot of people who piece this together that those were the actual targets, because shortly after the Titanic sank, the Federal Reserve was instituted. And so who is the beneficiaries of this? The stockholders of the Federal Reserve. Why would this, you know, thing be funded? Well, it's being funded by the Rothschild dynasty, right? What they want to do is that they want to prevent people from visiting this Titanic. That's the reason why the media is pushing this. And what we're going to see after this disaster is over is we're going to see heat on the regulatory bodies that are responsible for issuing permits for people to go to the Titanic. And what they want to do is they want to cover this up. They don't want people to go down there. And what they're going to do in the meantime is give us limited disclosures. The Smithsonian came out recently and said in 2017 that a coal fire that was burning uncontrollably and undetected for 2 weeks prior may have contributed to this, you know, ship sinking. And so it's my belief that they're slowly rolling it out in a limited disclosure to admit that there actually might have been other contributing factors to this. But I don't think they're actually going to come out and admit that the entire thing was a piece of sabotage in order to Trojan horse in the Federal Reserve system that we now have in place.
Yeah, as you alluded to, in 1910, some of America's most influential bankers gathered on Jekyll Island to plan the country's monetary policy and establish a central banking system, by the way, which Putin kicked out of Russia, which resulted in the draft legislation for the creation of the Federal Reserve Act. J.P. Morgan, the financier and banker who funded and built the Titanic, was booked on its maiden voyage in 1912, but canceled at the last minute. That's a little strange. Unlike the most wealthy and influential opponents to the creation of the Federal Reserve Act, American millionaires who did not owe their fortunes to banking, who remained on that ship and all perished. According to one theory, J.P. Morgan killed off any potential threats by ensuring rival millionaires, Jacob Astor, who you mentioned, Isidore Strauss, and Benjamin Guggenheim, who all allegedly opposed the forming of a central bank, they all died on board the Titanic. None of this can be viewed as coincidental. And the discouragement to go and visit the Titanic is reminiscent of the discouragement, or actually the abolition and criminal act that it would be if you went and tried to explore, Antarctica.
Right, exactly. So, you know, not everyone is under this treaty. This is the Western world. Russia can still visit it. China can still visit it, and it's in international waters. So, you know, this international treaty doesn't apply to them, but it definitely does apply to you. And it does apply to me. So it looks like this mystery will be continued to be buried at sea.
Yeah. What about the submarine itself? The press is running with the story that, you know, these people can survive without oxygen for that long at a depth of, 12,000 feet. They're bolted in from the outside. Now I'm reading stories about how this thing has claws on it that can help to free it if it gets caught up in some cables, or if it gets down, the Coast Guard is saying, no, this is not a recovery mission. This is still a search and rescue mission. How long can one survive without oxygen in a tuna can at 12,000 feet in immense pressure below the surface of the ocean?
Yeah, they're done. They're done. They're perished. That's my belief. The thing is that at 5,000 feet, you're under incredible pressure. I mean, it's way more pressure under 5,000 feet of ocean than, let's say, the space station.
I don't know. Tell that to Damar Hamlin. I mean, apparently right? You can be brought back to life after 26 minutes of resuscitation on a football field. Apparently, you can survive 2 heart attacks, be brought back to life. And according to BBC, death is irreversible, so you can't revive people. But somehow, here's DeMar Hamlin, who's been, by the way, at least the guy pretending to be DeMar Hamlin, has been cleared to play NFL football. That should be an interesting and upcoming season. As more develops on this Titanic thing, I'm sure that you'll be all over it. Make sure to visit Zach on Twitter. What's your handle on Twitter, Zach?
Twitter.com/perpetualmaniac, or just search for my name, Zach Voorhees, the Google whistleblower.
Brilliant thread. And I applaud you for questioning literally everything that this satanic Vanguard, Pfizer, BlackRock, Rothschild funded media says. It's interesting how the biggest financiers of this criminal press are actually also the ones that are behind this submarine. So if you believe the narrative, I've got some land that I'd like to sell you in a lot of different places and bridges. Zach Voorhees, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Stu.
Everybody now knows that we live in an upside down clown world under an empire of lies, a murderous regime. So previously it may have sounded crazy, but I'm sure you won't be surprised to learn that liberals are very upset that people like me are advertising the Vanish holster. They cannot stand how this holster has helped get more Americans armed than ever before. What's so special about this Vanish holster, you might ask? Well, simple. It is the most comfortable holster ever. The most comfortable holster I've ever worn. I have plenty of experience, 15 years in bounty hunting, lots of experience with holsters and firearms. And when you get a Vanish holster, you'll never stop carrying because you'll forget you're even wearing it. Plus, the Vanish holster saves you money. That's because it fits 99% of all semi-auto handguns. It works without a tactical belt. It lets you carry in multiple positions. It carries two fully loaded magazines. And best of all, because you're a viewer of this program, you get it for $50 off. I am told that this discount is set to expire soon, so kick in your special pricing. Lock it in right now. Go to vanish.com/stew. That's VNSH.com/stew. VNSH.com/stew. It's all back for the money-back guarantee, and I believe them when they say it's the only holster that you'll ever need because it's the last one that you'll ever buy. Vanish.com/stew right now, today, before this discount expires. She calls it the greatest cover-up in all of human history. No, it's not the Titanic, and it's not JFK, and it's not the USS Liberty. No, according to Karen Kingston, the biggest cover-up in human history is happening right now, right in front of our eyes. It's the explosion of the global nanotechnology industry. Karen says that globalist elites who control the health and pharma and tech industries have been advancing nanotech for decades, all while lying relentlessly about its very existence. But in the last 5 years, nanotech took a huge leap forward with the engineering of the COVID-19 virus and then its bioweapon injections. But according to Karen, despite how obvious it is, they just lie right to our faces. They just tell us nanotech isn't real, you conspiracy theorist idiot. They tell us that even hundreds upon hundreds of industry documents already exist, clearly stating that COVID shots contain nanotechnology for the purposes of merging biological humans with digital nanotechnologies, is all fake. You must be controlled opposition sent here to discredit the anti-vax movement. All the way back in 2000, the National Nanotechnology Initiative was launched. Every year, it gets more than $1 billion in taxpayer funding. Your money funding our own demise from organizations like the NIH and the Defense Department. Hundreds of peer-reviewed papers and proposed technologies have come out. In 2017, the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health put out a 7-year safety plan for protecting workers who manufacture nanotech. In 2014, the FDA published loose guidelines on how to use nanotech in your food, in your cosmetics, in your medicine, in your supplements, even in the tobacco that you smoke or chew. Now, as we are clearly on the cusp of a revolution in transhumanism where nanotechnology is used for human-directed evolution, they all turn around and say, actually, nanotechnology just isn't real. Karen Kingston is with us now. Why will nobody else talk about nanotechnology?
Yeah, thanks for bringing this up, Stu. It's such an important topic because it is the weapon that's being used right now on humanity, and not just on humanity, but on all biological life forms. Yet no one's willing to talk about the nanotechnology that is a $30 trillion industry because that is the weapon that's being used against us. So at this point, if we name the weapon, then it's pretty easy to name the criminals, and I would start with Pfizer. And there is no regulation that protects Pfizer from using electromagnetic devices that are nanotechnology that caused harm on civilians. there's no legislation to protect them. And I think that's a big part of why people are denying the existence of nanotechnology. So there was even a survey done in 2009 of, you know, we'll just call them the titans of nanotech. And these are the industry leaders. And when they were first approached about the survey, about how to regulate nanotechnology, whether or not to inform consumers, the majority of respondents said, what nanotech industry are you talking about? So they intentionally did this in the secrecy. And then when asked, you know, who should regulate it, they said, well, we should regulate the industry, right? Because ultimately, if we make an unsafe product, then consumers are going to be aware of it. And we can't be protected by government regulations if we harm consumers. So the buck stops with us. So as I said on your show in January 2022, the buck stops with Pfizer. And nobody is willing to talk about this. Not one doctor, not one scientist, not one attorney.
Not one presidential candidate, not one alternative media host, not one mainstream media pundit. Nobody is willing to talk about nanotechnology, despite the fact that we have irrefutable, undeniable, microscopic imagery of nanotechnology inside of the vials that were manufactured and distributed by Pfizer.
Exactly. Like Dr. Anna Malhasia has done a great job leading the nanotech investigation. I mean, she's almost like Upton Sinclair in the meat industry in the early 1900s. But people aren't talking about the legal angle. They're not talking about how this the existence of nanotechnology has completely shattered any immunity that Pfizer and the manufacturers have, right? Because you cannot inject people with electromagnetic devices. And I think the other thing that people don't realize is that this industry has been around, you know, like you had said, for over 20 years, really booming beginning in the year 2000. And even in cosmetics, Revlon and Estee Lauder have invested over $500 million in patents alone using nanotech. And when you take a look at the studies that they did, whether or not it's safe, what do they say? Oh, we're not sure if it's safe or not yet. Now, there's also another study that was just published in February of this year in Applied Biotechnologies, and it said the uncontrolled use of nanoparticle technology has caused irreparable damage to all biological and animal life forms on the planet by disrupting the microflora, the microbiota. So there is nanoparticle technology right now that's being released across the planet. That is disrupting the bacteria that's in our oceans, that's in our lakes, that's in our soil. It's disrupting funguses, it's disrupting algae. And it's now accelerating the loss and the change of life to all life forms. And nobody's talking about this. You know, and I think if consumers knew that there was nanotechnology in their cosmetics, in their food supply, in the soil, in the air. And the purposes of it, the exposure for the last 20 years, was so that our bodies would get used to it and not have a severe rejection or allergic reaction to it. So by the time they were ready to inject human beings with the nanotechnology, we wouldn't have such a overt reaction to rejecting it from our bodies.
What could some of these reactions be? I mean, could it be inflammation that causes cancer? Could it be inflammation that causes stroke? Could it be inflammation that causes congestive heart failure? Could some of the things that we see our relatives, loved ones, family members, friends dying from, you know, this long battle with such and such, XYZ, fill in the blank, could actually be attributed to being poisoned with nanotechnology over the last several decades?
Exactly. And the nanotechnology, what the industry experts do know is these inorganic materials, whether it's the titanium, whether it's silicone, whether it's graphene oxide, which is not disclosed because it's a trade secret, according to the Graphene Council organization. So when they use graphene oxide in nanotech, whether it's in your cosmetics or your COVID-19 injection, they don't have to tell you. What it's causing is it loves the reproductive system and it loves the central nervous system. And what's interesting is the industry even talks about Nature Nanotech published an article in 2021 saying now we can use nanoparticles to create these particles that mimic viruses. They confess that COVID-19 is an engineered nanoparticle. And when Dr. Robert Malone was interviewed on Joe Rogan, I believe it was December of 2020, he was talking about how the spike protein causes inflammation in the brain. He was alluding to the fact that it was a neuroweapon. And he said, you know, the spike, whether it's in the vaccine, whether it's the virus, whether it's the adenovirus vector, you know, the mRNA, the virus itself, goes to the blood-brain barrier and causes inflammation. He himself almost accidentally admitted that the SARS-CoV-2 virus was a modRNA nanoparticle. It was an engineered nanoparticle that was designed to be a weapon of mass destruction that was designed to also be a neuroweapon.
Dr. Robert Malone actually also sat down with Glenn Beck. Now, you would argue, I mean, it's pretty obvious that nanotechnology is part of the transhumanist movement, correct? I mean, and Dr. Robert Malone sat right in front of Glenn Beck and said, this is transhumanism. I mean, this mRNA technology is the introduction of transhumanism. And I'm paraphrasing, I don't know exactly how he said it, but that's what he said.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said. And what Dr. Robert Malone has said is backed up by peer-reviewed publications in nanotechnology, where they say the COVID-19 injections are the entry point to merge the biological with the digital realm. It's in dozens of articles. And my frustration with our movement is, again, when I was on your show the very first time, I said, I hope people listen to facts and evidence and not others' opinions. So if you go into the nanotech industry, the synthetic biology industry, Stu, there's decades, there's hundreds of thousands of publications that talk about the use of nanotechnology, that talk about the fact that these are inorganic materials, that they are metals, that address the fact that these cause harm to your central nervous system specifically. And they also cause sterility among men and women specifically. And then the heart inflammation, liver disease, kidney disease, and cancers, well, that's just a given. That's just a given. And they're saying, yeah, it causes that, but it's still safe.
So let's address the cult of Scientology, these people that write for the New York Times and the Rolling Stone and, you know, the Daily Beast and the New York Times, if I haven't mentioned them, the mainstream media in general, all of these major publications, these, you know, that they're filled with lies. But the cult of Scientology, the same people that tell you to trust science are denying the existence of a science that has hundreds of peer-reviewed papers. It's right out in the wide open. They're denying that this particular science even exists.
Yeah, and the reason why is because it's more than a $30 trillion industry that has infiltrated the pharmaceutical industry, the biotech industry, the military complex, and it's also technology, and it's infiltrated the financial banking industry with CBDC. So if anyone talks about this technology, and people become aware that they're being injected with technologies that were originally developed as weapons of biowarfare. As of 2016, they were still identified as such. And in 2017, they filed a patent as such. So if civilians become aware of this, they would shut it down. And that would cause the complete collapse of this whole global plan. So if you talk about it, your funding's cut off and your head's probably going to be on the chopping block. And so, Stu, that's the reason why other platforms aren't talking about it, whether they admit to it or not, right? And, you know, there's a thing called controlled opposition, and people think of that as, well, that means someone knows they're directly working for the bad guys. No, it means that you're controlled. It means that you're being manipulated. So these other platforms, these other doctors are being told, you don't want to talk about nanotechnology because it's going to make you sound crazy. Where they're really saying, you don't want to talk about nanotechnology because if people figure out that they were injected with electromagnetic devices, game over.
All of our money goes away. All of our money goes away. All of our influence goes away. All of our control, all of our power goes away if you discuss this. That's what they're really saying. But in 2014, the FDA, who we're told to trust, you know, by the cult of Scientology, the new science, the FDA published guidelines on how to use nanotech in food and cosmetics and supplements and medicine and even in tobacco. So denying its existence, these trusted experts, or as you call them, controlled opposition, which a lot of people loosely use that term. For example, if you speak out against some policies of the Messiah, Donald Trump, you must be controlled opposition. Or if you say, you know, that you don't like late-term abortions and the murder of babies, well, then you must be controlled opposition. Or if you say that there's graphene oxide or nanotechnology in the shots, then you're crazy. Or if you release a documentary seen 100 million times across the face of the planet called Died Suddenly, then you're controlled opposition that is only here to create dissent within the movement and to discredit conservatives. You're controlled opposition. No, they're admitting that this stuff is out there. And you are being controlled, not you, Karen Kingston, the audience, the people who would say, well, you must be controlled opposition that's here to discredit the conservative movement or the anti-vax movement because we actually have real factual statistical data to talk about here. Well, we have real factual statistical data from the FDA and hundreds of peer-reviewed journals that say right here, publications that clearly show you nanotechnology is being used across the spectrum. You say that it's irreparable in 2 minutes. Why is that?
Because nanotechnology is technology that works at the atomic level. The laws of physics change at that point. So, for example, nanotechnology is hijacking the photosynthesis process right now in plants around the globe. That means instead of producing oxygen, they're producing these multi-species proteins, or they could even produce plastics. And it also, it's damaging. Nanotechnology is nanotoxic at the genetic level. It's destroying our mitochondria. So it's causing permanent genetic changes that are harmful to all biological life forms.
This should be the most viewed segment that we've ever done, actually. And every single so-called elected representative and trusted health movement expert, medical freedom, trusted, you know, representative, scientist, doctor, trusted experts should be held accountable if they're not acknowledging the fact that we are being inundated with nanotechnology all over the place. It's in your food. It's in your cosmetics. It's in your supplements. It's in your medicine. It's not medicine. It's murderous. 30 seconds.
And injecting it directly into the bodies of adults and children is a crime. It is a weapon. It is being used as a weapon to cause permanent genetic changes, which is to the extermination of our species, as well as to cause permanent disabling diseases that will ultimately lead to death. So the shots need to be seized. We need to start to where we need to start with. And the weapon is not a vaccine. The weapon is nanotechnology. And there is no law or legislation protecting Pfizer or any other manufacturer.
Despite whatever prominent figurehead of power or prominence tries to tell you that they are protected by congressional immunity. They are not. Pfizer is acting in a criminal way, crimes against humanity, and they should be rolled on immediately. And their assets should be seized in America and every country across the planet. And those responsible for manufacturing these weapons of biowarfare should be held to account. And when they're found guilty, should be sentenced with extreme accountability. Karen Kingston, thank you so much. Gotta go.
Thank you. God bless.
Heart disease, blood clots, strokes, kidney failure. These can all be found on the back of an ibuprofen bottle listed as side effects. And to top it all off, ibuprofen doesn't even get to the main cause of your pain and swelling problems. It's only temporary relief. It's only masking the true problem, which is inflammation. It's not only ineffective, it's expensive and downright dangerous, especially for seniors to be popping ibuprofen pills. That's why researchers are saying to add this Antarctic super nutrient to your diet. These are omega-3 fatty acids sourced from wild-caught krill. The omega-3 content from krill oil has been shown to support healthy blood pressure, circulation, brain health, as well as reduce inflammation, swelling, and joint pain. In fact, it can outperform ibuprofen, Advil, and Tylenol, and it doesn't have the dangerous side effects mentioned above either. Better yet, for a limited time, you can grab Native Path Antarctic Krill Oil for as low as $23 a bottle. Just go to StopMyInflammation.com right now to get your special offer for being a part of my audience. StopMyInflammation.com.
Taxation is theft, especially when your money is used to fund evil.
Wear a mask. Get boosted.
Corona hoax, mass deception, America controlled by fear. Good news, there's another way. You can stop paying for the crimes and cover-up today through Freedom Law School.
The best thing you can do, according to the IRS's own official auditors, is to stop filing and paying income taxes.
Based on the government's official websites, there is no law requiring 99% of Americans to file and pay income tax. See the proof for yourself on freedomlawschool.org. Don't wait to drain the DC swamp. Start your journey to freedom from IRS deception, robbery, and slavery. Starve out the problem. Weaponize your earnings. Defund the swamp and fund the truth and freedom movement today. Go to livefreenow.org and restore the freedom we all miss.
As someone who goes to battle every day with the demonic deep state, as someone who's constantly researching and trying to get information to you, booking interviews, scheduling huge projects like documentaries like Died Suddenly, obviously energy is an issue. Sometimes you have no afternoon energy. Sometimes your mood is affected. So I started taking Newtopia. I felt a noticeable improvement in my ability to focus and or remember important things once I started using Newtopia. I noticed a boost in my cognitive performance, my energy levels, my mood. Since I began taking Newtopia, I've been able to power through challenging tasks and distractions and manage more projects than ever without rising stress levels, which is incredibly important in current times. Since incorporating Newtopia into my routine, I articulate my thoughts more clearly. So why is Newtopia the best? They have developed a highly effective nootropics specifically designed to unlock your brain's maximum focus and concentration and creativity. Personalize your pack for your unique neurochemistry, choosing from 9 breakthrough brain formulas, formulas designed to help with a range of mental and emotional issues. Go to Newtopia.com/Stu Peters. Again, Newtopia.com/Stu Peters. If you want big discounts, use promo code Stu Peters when you go to Newtopia.com/Stu Peters. Welcome back. So don't look now, but the Vanguard, BlackRock, Pfizer-funded lying criminal press tells us that RFK Jr. has real momentum within the primary process. So let's break that down. I mean, he does have a famous name that can make people pay attention to him. He has a platform, or at least part of his platform can appeal to a big chunk of the American people. Now he just needs to get past an establishment that may have actually helped to murder his father and uncle. Just shortly after announcing a primary poll, polls are fake, by the way, showed that 19% of Democrats would actually prefer to vote for RFK Jr. than Joe Biden. For an incumbent, that's a huge number, when the guy pretending to be Joe Biden is allegedly the one in the White House right now. Historically, 19% is huge. Now imagine if Biden died, maybe for a second time, I don't know, and it was a race between RFK Jr. and Kamala Harris. Do you think that that's not an easy choice even for Democrats, if you believe in that construct? So let's play a game where we imagine a future with free and fair, integrity-filled elections. Let's imagine a world where Donald Trump is the nominee for Republicans, as looks extremely likely right now, and where RFK Jr. actually gets the Democrat nomination. Here we would have, at least superficially, 2 insurgent candidates, one from each party, both publicly claiming to be committed to breaking down the power of the deep state and the intelligence apparatus and the military-industrial complex. It would be a real choice for America between 2 viable candidates. For once, finally, it would be a real election instead of a fake one. So don't bank on that happening. Our politics only gets faker and faker by the moment. So why would they let that change now? Vem Miller knows that. He's a longtime film and television producer. Today, he's working at the America Happens Network, which released this video recently. Now, if you can look at this video where Tina Peters is arrested, literally the only person in the entire country who captured the fraud and was willing to blow the whistle and expose it, this is what happens when you question our elections, our installations of presidents and federal elected representatives.
Tina, you're not in control of the situation. There's a search warrant in your hand that says that that iPad is...
That is evidence that you're
holding evidence, and so I'm asking you to have it.
Whose iPad are you at?
That iPad.
They are demanding Tina's property, and she has the full legal right to talk to her lawyer, read the warrant to her lawyer, and have her lawyer advise her on what to do and what her legal rights are.
So this is...
I'm going to make her. I've got to call mine.
Do you have your warrant with you?
Yeah, I'm going to call mine too.
Okay. Just want to make sure you have it with you. Would you like Randy to read it?
No, I'm going to read it to my attorney.
And then what do you think, too?
The intent of calling one's lawyer is for one to be advised by the lawyer as to what that person's legal rights are. One must ask, why is Detective Struy intentionally complicating this matter and asking Tina what she intends to do after she calls her lawyer when he knows that the reason she is wanting to call her lawyer is to get an answer to that exact question?
So do you know what's going to happen after you call your attorney?
You don't need to intimidate me. I'm calling my attorney.
And again, for a third time and a fourth time, Detective Struy continues the bullying and invasive questioning and doesn't allow Tina to simply speak with her lawyer.
All right, I'm going to go to my car, I'm going to get my phone, and I'm going to call my attorney.
And then what is your projected next step?
I we'll see what the attorney says. I have counsel. So
this
you
has
can't
nothing
just...
to do with another case.
After multiple attempts at inciting an incident...
I have to go call my attorney, and then you will be...
Answer?
Nope. Here. Nope.
Okay.
Do not touch him.
There's a uniform officer coming now. I imagine you would just stay put.
Detective Struy makes his intentions clear.
To walk with me to my car. We're going to walk to my car.
You're not going in
here. Yes, I am.
You're absolutely not.
Now remember, these detectives have not said anything about arresting Tina. They are only here because they have a warrant to seize her iPad.
You let go of me.
Let go of her.
Let go of me.
Absolutely not.
I will tell you that.
As Detective Struy says here, this is all because someone accused her of taping a court hearing.
You know I have counsel. So
this has nothing
just,
to do with another case. This has to do with whether or not you recorded a court yesterday. I'm not believing.
Oh my gosh, this is what this is about?
According to Detective Struy, five officers are needed to deal with a nearly 70-year-old lady that is being accused of recording a court hearing. This on its face is a preposterous idea, which should reveal what this is all about. An act of intimidation and bullying against somebody that revealed the fraud of the election system, and that was her sworn duty to discern and report.
It hurts! Let go of me!
Let it go of her!
You understand?
The message being sent here is crystal clear. If you are an election official turned whistleblower, the weaponized government will persecute you relentlessly.
Stop it! No! Let go of me!
The camera captures a glimpse of the iPad on a chair covered in spilled coffee. And Detective Struy here, as you can see, is now in possession of the iPad. And here's Detective Struy trespassing into her purse, taking personal property beyond the scope of the warrant. And here's Detective Struy saying that they can't even prove that she was recording anything in the courtroom.
You've accused me of something that didn't happen. Can you prove that happened?
I can't.
Okay, so how can you look at that film and still believe that anything about our election process is real? The man whose voice you heard there is Ben Miller, and he's with us now. I mean, can you answer that question? I mean, so what difference does it really make? RFK, Trump, real election process? I mean, these people could have the support of virtually the entire country. But if our elections are fake, and if you question it and you're arrested by a Gestapo, I mean, isn't this just an admission that elections are fake and rigged?
I mean, basically, first, Stu, thank you so much for having me back.
Yeah, of course.
I really appreciate your support. You know, the whole JFK, you know, Trump question, and I bring up JFK, is very interesting because here you have two people I think that were the most hated politicians in American history. You know, we see the JFK assassination where before it actually happened, you had people discussing the idea of assassinating JFK. During his inauguration, there was such statements made between, you know, deep state politicians. And then you have Trump in the same situation today where you have congressional members, you know, rather than saying Trump must be stopped, they say Trump must be shot. So it's clear that these two individuals are enemies of the deep state. And so what's interesting about this whole potential RFK Trump matchup, even if RFK doesn't get the nomination, the fact that he's in there, the fact that he knows that his father and his uncle were both killed by the deep state, right? The fact that he knows that, and then you have somebody like Trump that is very anti-deep state. I just don't know how they're going to play this. And I know the deep state wants these two guys to go away. Would they want to kill him? They want to get rid of him at all costs. And so I think a lot of things are going to come up within now in the election that the American people haven't necessarily heard, the mainstream hasn't heard, because I don't know how you're going to hide, you know, the conspiracy with the murder of both those Kennedys, what's being done with the jab, all things that at least RFK is willing to speak about.
Well, in the open for this, you know, segment, I said our politics only gets faker and faker by the moment. And so I just want to acknowledge some of the things that you said. You know, both of these, you know, people, Trump and RFK Jr. being, you know, completely anti-deep state. Well, I mean, first of all, the deep state is in alignment with murdering babies. RFK Jr. is very pro-abortion. So, I mean, obviously, there are certain aspects of his political mantra that are not necessarily anti-deep state. And then you have Trump, who's totally surrounded himself with the deep state. I mean, not only, you know, campaigning up to 2016, but then in the White House administration, and now at Bedminster and Mar-a-Lago. I mean, so I don't really know how anti-deep state these guys are in certain ways. They seem to be very aligned. For example, Donald Trump's incessant push for this bioweapon injection, where he says that his shot saved millions of lives. I mean, it's just right out in the wide open, everybody understands what these shots are doing to people. And yet he's still doing that. So I think a lot of people, rightfully so, justifiably, have a lot of questions for both of these candidates. But back to the election process, does it really matter? Does it really matter when I go to the polls and I pull the lever or push the button for one of these two candidates? Is it really even going to count? Or in the middle of the night, is the software program going to do exactly what it's designed to do? If they've found a method that works for hijacking a superpower, why would they stray away from that now?
You know, that's what's interesting about this whole Tina Peters situation, because out of all the election officials that were supposed to do their sworn duty, Tina was really the only one that actually backed up that software and has a before and after what happens after the update, as we found out during the Mike Lindell symposium. And so it's interesting that they're really persecuting these types of individuals because, frankly, just like you said, there's questions about both RFK and Trump and their deep state connections. Now, is it also positive that somebody like an RFK is fighting this whole death jab thing, is very well aware what Anthony Fauci is all about? I think all those things are great. But again, we're always looking at this lesser of two evils world in politics because our elections are rigged. Change is incremental. Although I do see we're hitting a crescendo right now. That's what's really cool about this. And I'm talking specifically about what happened with the RFK assassination and the JFK assassination. That seems to be something that I just don't know if they're going to be able to hold back the truth on there for much longer, especially as you have somebody like RFK running. People are going to be curious. They're going to research this stuff. And I think what they're going to find out is there's direct deep state connections with both those assassinations. Those assassinations happened for a reason that probably had to do a lot with the road to tyranny that we're on. I do believe that some things are going to come out. Are we going to look at something where all of a sudden our elections become better? I highly doubt that. I think we're pretty much looking at something. It's going to be chaos, I believe, in 2024 with all the nonsense that's happened because they've done zero to fix it. Trump and RFK, both of them are flawed candidates. They are good candidates, but flawed nonetheless. And all I could see is incremental improvements. I just don't see things improving.
As Tina Peters says in a documentary with Laura Logan, these people are not elected, they're selected. These people are installed. And the lesser of two evils thing I would really like to address. So why do we have to do that? Well, I'll tell you why. Because you have to buy your way into a candidacy. You have to be rich. You have to be somebody like Donald Trump or RFK Jr. who has essentially virtually unlimited resources financially to buy your way onto a debate stage. Now, the Democrats have said that they're not going to have any debates. Biden's going to go back to the basement because, again, why would you stray away from a plan that already worked to hijack and overtake a superpower and a Marxist coup d'etat right out in the wide open, burst pipes, you know, the covering of windows at polling stations and places, the mail-in ballots. We saw what the lines did. We saw what the blue and red line did. The program did exactly what it was supposed to do. And so, you know, here we have Donald Trump then on the other side. You have to, in order to debate Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis, you have to have 460,000 small donors and millions upon millions of dollars just to be on a debate stage. So how could anybody that's truly America first in every aspect ever make their way into a presidential candidacy? What's the solution to all of this?
Yeah, the whole system doesn't make sense. I mean, I ran for office in 2022 for an assembly seat, right? The assembly seat pays $9,000 over the course of 2 years. To win that assembly seat, you need about $120,000. The differential between those two amounts, just like in congressional races, don't make sense because you need so much money, you're ultimately going to be beholden to the people that are giving you that money.
So are we a hijacked country? I mean, are we an overtaken, conquered nation at this point?
You know what the key thing is, Stu, is that the thing that nobody talks about is the Bar Association and the fact that we have three branches of government that are supposed to provide checks and balances against one another. But you have two branches of government controlled by the Bar Association. Our judiciary has been hijacked by the Bar Association. Our legislature, 75% or more legislature members are bar members. They're bar agents. These guys are writing laws to help the bar, to help the practice of law, to help the financial benefits of the practice of law. And often those laws contradict our Constitution. So yes, our government is captured. That is the key issue. Until we get our checks and balances back, we're a captured country. And this topic nobody talks about because are the members of the legislature going to want to remove themselves and say, hey, we're bar agents? Are they going to talk about the original 13th Amendment, which prohibited people that had titles of nobility, meaning esquires, meaning attorneys, from holding office? The lawyers being in Congress and in the Senate are the core of the issue. The bar controlling Congress and Senate is the core of the issue. That's why we see a judiciary that is wholly corrupt and nobody is holding these people accountable. Because the legislature, when a judge violates their oath to the Constitution and breaches the laws of the land, they are then able to be removed. They lose their immunity. But that is the part, that is the job of the legislature. Is the legislature going to do that when they're controlled by the bar?
No, of course they're not. About a minute left here, but I value your opinion. So I just want to know, any ideas for solutions?
I think as the Republican Party, they need to put it in their mandate, every single state, that we need to break up the bar monopoly.
The okay,
bar
but the Republican Party's fake. They've proven to be feckless, totally fake, worthless. What do the American people do? Is there a solution for the American people?
They start new parties. They start independent parties. It has to become part of party mandates, whether it's the independent party, whether it's a new Republican Party that people take over. Part of the mandate has to be cleaning up our government, having three branches of government with checks and balances, meaning we need to remove the bar from the legislature.
So you believe that there is a political solution?
I do believe there is one. Do I think the bar members are going to try to remove themselves? No, I think there needs to be a massive uprising of the people in a peaceful manner to make sure that this is top of the line. Just like we say, the Second Amendment's top of the line when it comes to our policies. That's got to be top of the line. It has to be top three issues that we address going forward.
We saw what happened when people were peaceful on January 6th. They staged an insurrection and used that as an excuse to go and hunt down patriots who were there to pray and take a guided police escorted tour through the People's House, which is the Capitol, to instill fear in people from uprising. The Second Amendment is very important. Do not give up an inch on that. Vin Miller, welcome back anytime. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much, Stu. I really appreciate it.
If you have a child and that child has a diagnosis of ADHD, you've gone to the doctor and they are suggesting neurotoxins like Adderall and Ritalin and methylphenidate and clonidine because they are whores for big pharma and because they are poison pushers and fake doctors, please try something else before you destroy your kid's life potentially with all of the documented irreversible long-term side effects associated with all of the aforementioned. Please try CBD and please use the family-owned business that we do business with here. All the hemp is grown right here in my home state of Minnesota. Everything can be sourced. You're not going to get any poisons or toxic crap in your CBD like you will if you go to the corner store, which sells all of this BS from China. Go to curable.com. That's K-U-R-I-B-L, curable.com. Family-owned business, all the hemp sourced right here in my home state of Minnesota. So many other benefits to Curable, which you can find on their website. Plus, if you like THC products, they have them as well. Go to curable.com. Use promo code STU for 20% off site-wide when you go to curable.com. Look around at what's going on right now. Banks are collapsing all over the place. And then they're getting bailed out. And who's paying for that? You are. They say taxpayers won't pay. They say that other banks will pay. Well, how do those banks get that money? They'll probably raise your bank fees like they always do. And if the Fed steps in, you'll likely also be paying an inflation tax. In times like this, storing all of your money in a bank may be very risky, as we have seen. So what can two average Joes like you and I even do about it? Protect your wealth with gold and silver, just like so many other Americans and banks are doing right now. Call 855-706-GOLD to learn how to protect your savings with gold and silver. Call Gold Co. today, 855-706-GOLD.